In 1990, near the end of my service, I was wanting a contract in Outer Hebrides and saw a letter in the Sunday Post asking anyone who knew anything about kinder transport to contact the person below. And coming home for a weekend, I phoned the number, listed, and spoke to Doris Sim.
Who started this?
Yes, she was the instigator. Who was trying to arrange a get-together of kinder. Doris said she had a photo of some kinder which she would send to me to see if I could recognise anyone on it. When I received the photo, I was very surprised to find right in the front were my sister and myself. Oh. And I was holding the hand of a young girl.
And where was that taken?
Waverley Station. Ah. I've got a copy there. Have you met Edith Forrester?
No, we're still hoping to go and meet her. She's in St Andrews, I think.
No, Kirkcaldy.
Kirkcaldy.
And Edith and I, we keep in touch. It's only Christmas cards, but put a letter in them. Given the year's news, you know, every year. And the girl's hand I was holding was Edith Forrester.
Oh, goodness. Was she the only one that you really remember ever having had much contact with?
No, I didn't even know.
You didn't even know that was her name?
I didn't even know that photo had been taken.
Right. You know. Right. And so you only met Edith after
Doris Sim got things organised.
Right.
Her first meeting of the kinder.
And right. You'd really never met any of them again since she came over?
No, never met any.
And did people you worked with, did they know your background, or was there no cause for them to know that?
Well, I mean, by that time my name was Mackenzie. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? All right, in Forrest, they knew it. Oh, and the wee Jewish German boy, right? Yeah. That was in the town, that was it, you know. And, hello, Ebby, that was, nobody could say Eberhard Rosemeyer, so it was Ebby, was all I got, you know. And that was it, you know. I played with them, they played with me, and went out, I was in the air training corps, and in the squadron there, and go down flying to Kinloss, and it was a case of, you go down on Wednesday, Ebby? I'll try and get a half day off, and away down we go, you know. But it was only the local crowd, nobody seemed to bother about it. And I never met any other refugee.
Just one of the locals.
No, just... In fact, I make use of it now. Do you ever get these funny phone calls, you know? Am I inquiring for Mr. McKenzie? I would like to see you. And I just reply, I didn't ken what you're saying, man. What do you ken? I didn't ken. I can't understand you. Yeah. the forest lingo. Phone down. So it's paid dividends. But as I say, there was a sister and myself, and I was holding the hand of a young girl, and that was Edith Forrester. It appears the photo had been taken when the children arrived at Waverley Station in Edinburgh on their way to Selkirk had been kept as a memento by one of the group. On 20th May 1990, the first get-together of Scottish kinder took place, and the four children in the photo met together for the first time since 1939. Since then, there have been regular annual gatherings of Scottish kinder held at various themes in Glasgow. Now, that's what. So I'll bring these photos down. Your tape's running better. Let you see the photos after. Although I retired from government service in 91, I've been approached several times by consultants and agencies to take on various contracts. And I succumbed. I've taken on short-term contracts. The last being a contract with Glasgow University. But after retiring five times, I've now decided to stay permanently retired. I'm not sure if my wife believes me. So, I'd always wanted to have at least one visit to my old home before I got too old, and I knew my cousin Barbara had inherited the house in Knockerson when my mother died. This was a thank you for looking after my mother in her final days. In 55, I took a chance and wrote to the old address, hoping to get a reply. The letter we got back gave us an open invitation to come any time, and we would be made most welcome. So, September 96, we took the car over to the continent, decided to do a month's tour, and include a visit to my old home. Took an overnight ferry from Hull to Rotterdam, and in the morning we hit the road. First night we got as far as Castle, and the following morning headed for Knockerson. We swung off the autobahn and took the A road into Knockerson. As we entered the town, I swung right, and only gone about 100 yards when I knew I was in the wrong road. After all these years, you know, it's just some trigger. I got out and asked local in my rusty German, "Wo ist der Bahnhof bitte?" Where's the railway station, please? She told me to go back to the roundabout and turn right. And as soon as I was on that road, I knew exactly where I was, even after all these years. and were about a mile and a half from my old home. I drove directly to it without another mistake. When we arrived, my cousin and her husband were waiting for us, along with several people who'd known me as a boy, and also some of the neighbours who'd known my parents. We'd intended to stay for perhaps a couple of days and then start touring, but my cousin insisted we stay longer. She took us to see another cousin with whom I used to play as a child, and also took us to meet my mother's sister, now living in Chemnitz. We also met some of the families living close by who'd known my parents, and one lady produced a school photo of herself, which included my sister, as they'd both been in the same class. It's surprising how the memory of childhood days sticks in one's mind. My cousin took us out on a tour of Neukirchen and pointed out various places, which I could remember. On one building, however, we disagreed. She pointed out the primary school and asked if I remember going to it. I told her it was not the school I'd gone to, as my primary school was up a lane beyond the church. But she insisted this was the only primary school in the town. Prior to leaving Neukirchen, a friend of my father's gave me a book on old Neukirchen, and there was a photo of my old primary school up the lane beyond the church, which is now part of a residential complex. After staying some time with my cousin, we decided to go and visit Prague, as we're so near. It was only about 4 hours drive away. A beautiful city, well worth the extra mileage. We stayed for 4 days, could easily have stayed longer. On returning from Prague, we stayed with my cousin for a few days to celebrate her husband's birthday, and then set out to do some touring before heading home. One of the places we visited was the site of Buchenwald concentration camp. What an eerie experience. The whole campsite is surrounded by a belt of trees about a mile wide. The remains of the private railway station can still be seen, where prisoners arriving by the wagon load were herded from there to the camp itself. The main gate has been preserved, and now there's an information office on the site. One thing we noticed was at least the young generation had been made aware of the horrors as classes of school children were being guided round the campsite by teachers. So at least they're telling the younger generation about it.
Did you find out how your or why your father was released? Did you ever find that out?
When he came home, we got suitcases packed and off. So we never got a chance to find out why he was released. But on the time scale when he disappeared, I worked out the time scale with Kristallnacht, and it appears he was one of the ones that's the 30,000 that were rounded up during Kristallnacht, and that was it, you know. But one thing we know, the younger generation have been made aware of the horrors as classes of school children were guided around by the teachers. When the Russians occupied the area, they built a lasting monument in the shape of a huge bell tower, which can be seen for miles around. As well as the tower, they also constructed a series of steps to the Street of Nations. This is the long street joining up 3 mass graves, and along the street there are monuments depicting the nations who supplied inmates for the camp. There's 19 monuments. So 19 nations supplied prisoners for the camp. It's peculiar how information, even after all the passing years, has come out of nowhere. During one of the annual gatherings of Kinder in August 2000, I saw a Kinder Transport newsletter with an announcement regarding a Dr. Nietzsche trying to contact ex-Chemnitzer children who had left in Kinder Transport for the UK. I emailed him, and he was very interested about my family. When I sent him more details, he mailed me back to let me know that one of the men in his office, Mr. Rothstein, had been in Theresienstadt concentration camp with my father and grandfather. He also told me my grandfather had died in the camp on 18th December 1942. An 82-year-old man in the concentration camp. Had we known this, we could have been to visit Theresienstadt when we were in Prague in 96, as the camp is not far from Prague, and I believe all the records are still there, you know. Usually the Sarek meetings, used to get the Kinder newsletters, and used to get letters from all over the world. And one of the sad things about reading the newsletters, even at a period of time, almost 60 years after the end of the war, and the freeing of the concentration camp inmates, there are still letters asking for information about people who have never been traced. These letters give details such as date of birth, name, last known abode, and asking if anyone knows of them or any relative who may be able to supply information on their whereabouts.
You think a lot of the people who came over to Scotland ended up going abroad?
Well, there appears to be. I mean, it's, you know, some of the ones I've talked to in Glasgow and said, well, we were in Glasgow, and then some of them disappeared and, you know, didn't know where they were. I was in touch with a chap in Florida, you know, and we've got friends in Canada, and she's trying to find out Canadian ones who've ended up with Kinder Transport and then came over to Canada. She, there's quite a lot of them as well. But one of the things that really sticks in my craw, and it annoys me, the United States, you know, the land of liberty and freedom, blah, 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 right? It's possible more children could have been saved and the United States had been willing to take part in the rescue mission. On the 9th of February 1939, a limited refugee bill was introduced in the US Senate by Robert F. Wagner. 5 days later, the same bill was introduced in the House of Representatives by N. Rogers. And the Wagner-Rogers Refugee Aid Bill called for the admission to the United States of 20,000 German refugee children under the age of 14, in addition to the normal immigration quota. Within 24 hours of the plan being made public, 4,000 American families had offered homes to these children. And many more offers of accommodation were received via radio stations and newspapers. Unfortunately, after several months of debate, the bill was defeated in committee. You know, that could have been 20,000 children could have been saved. Yeah. And that's just a lot. I can tell you, I've got to say, I don't
know
if you...
Do you know how they picked the children to go in the Kinder's transport? How was it that they found you, or do you think...
I've no idea. All I know is that my parents said, you're going the train journey, there's a case. Go on it. Now, there's one of the chaps who used to be at Sarek, and I remember him saying he was... in fact, he's on the disc there. He was about 15, and he spoke to somebody there and they said, look, you could be in trouble. Go home, tell your mother, pack your haversack, and says, just take your essentials, none of your hobbies or stamp collection, just basic essentials, you're back here to get on that train. And he was on the train and he came over with us. But how he was, you know, how we were chosen, I've no idea. You know?
And you don't even know how it was that Mr. Mackenzie eventually took you and your sister. I know he was willing to take people, but it was just sheer chance it was you and your sister that
took. Could have been anybody. You know. Uh-huh. It was just a case of the refugee committee, right, based in Edinburgh at that time.
And were they Jewish or mixed? Who were mixed. The committee?
I think they were mixed. But it was a conglomeration of I think it was somebody in the front here. See, there was a Commons debate on the 21st of November of various concerned groups involved met Home Secretary Dr. Sir Samuel Hoover. During discussion, he agreed to speed up documentation required for travel. Now, the various organisations had now been combined into the movement for the care of children from Germany. The movement promised to fund the whole operation and stated there would be no drain on the public purse. The funds would be found to guarantee £50, roughly £1,000 in today's money, for every child brought in this country back into transport. By the time the war started, it was estimated 10,000 children were brought in. Now, remember that gathering of the voices we were at? There was a young chap there near the door, I don't know who he was, and I gave him information about a lady who did a thesis on the funding for the Kinder transport. And it's about that thick, you know. And I don't know whether they dug into it or not, but I can give you the details and you can maybe get it yourself. Mm-hmm. It's the University of London, mm-hmm. and she did this thesis for her PhD. And she really dug into it, detail, very, very close detail, you know.
Well, that would be useful.